All right, we're going to continue in Romans chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 14 to 21. So Romans 15 and verses 14 to 21. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So there are two sort of parts to this passage that we've just read. The first part, Paul's really talking about building up the church, about encouraging the believers, about just helping people who come to faith to continue in their faith, to grow and to continue into everything that God has for them. And then the second part is about bringing the gospel to those who have not heard. And both of these are important. Both of them are important. You know, God wants his people to grow up into full maturity. He wants us to know him. And he also wants everyone to hear the good news of the gospel. And you know what sometimes can happen is that a church can focus on one area or another to the exclusion of everything else. And you know what, if it ends up being all about building up the believers, then the church becomes inward looking and neglects to share the good news with other people. And if it's all about evangelism, then the church might grow very quickly, but it probably won't last very long because there's no foundation, there's no maturity there. So rather than an either or view, we need to be both. We need to have both of them. And the way to have both is not to be either inward-looking or outward-looking, but to be upward-looking. So as we're looking to Jesus, he's the one who is going to direct the things that we do. So he'll direct us to build one another up in the faith, and he'll direct us to share the good news with the people that we meet. And those verses that we've just read there, Paul mentions God three times, Christ or Christ Jesus five times, and the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God twice. So you get the focus of what Paul's writing here. His focus is on God. His focus is on God's purposes. And you know, he was always seeking to follow the direction that God gave him through the Holy Spirit in order to bring glory to Jesus, and so that by his preaching that people would be built up and encouraged, but also that the gospel would come to others. And you know, Paul was very keen to make sure that the people that he administered to and the people who had come to faith also grew up into spiritual maturity. And he took the time to do that, didn't he? In Ephesians 4, it speaks there, this is another one of Paul's letters, he talks there about not being children, but growing up into Christ, who is the head. And Colossians 2, he says that we need to hold on to the head so that the whole body grows. And that's not just talking about growing in size. It's talking about growing up in maturity. It's talking about people reaching their full potential. And the writer to the Hebrews talks about it there as well in chapter 6. He says there that we need to leave behind the elementary teaching and go on to maturity. So there's something also that we need to really take note of here. Paul was specifically called by God to preach the gospel. Yeah, he says that right at the beginning of Romans. He says that. That's what God called him for. And with a particular emphasis on speaking to the Gentiles. So the nations, everybody outside of Israel. And wherever he went, he would speak to people about Jesus. And as people started to believe in the things that he was saying and came to faith in Jesus, he would then help them to come together as a community of believers, as a church. And then he often spent time with them, teaching them further and building them up before he then moved on to another place. And he would appoint some people from that group to be leaders or elders to help to lead them on further. But that doesn't mean that everybody else just sat back and drink it all in. In verse 14, he says to this group of Roman Christians, "You are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." And, you know, all of us, whether we have a position or a title or any of those things or not, all of us have a responsibility to help one another. We all have a responsibility to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to build one another up, to share the good things that God has shown us with one another. And to remind each other about what God's word says. Because we need it, don't we? We need it. It's been great this morning. God's spoken to us in so many different ways already this morning through prayer and tongues and interpretation, through words of encouragement. God has spoken to us today, and we need that. And it comes from the whole body working together. And that's what Paul's talking about here. You are full of goodness, you're filled with knowledge, and you're able to instruct and to encourage one another. And that's what he wants us all to do. And all of this work in building up the church is for a specific purpose. Verse 16, Paul says, "It is so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Okay, and that includes us. So that the offering of us will be acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 12 of Romans, he says something similar. So this is Romans 12, verse 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." That's what it's all about. It's about offering ourselves to God as living sacrifices. Jesus died for us so that we could live for him. He doesn't need any other sacrifice in that sense, because Jesus has already done it. He paid the price. He said, "It is finished." That work is done. So now he's calling us to live for him as living sacrifices, something that's holy and acceptable to God. And Paul, he then goes on to speak about how God has used him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. and he explains how he did it. And that's really getting to the heart of really what I wanted to talk about this morning. He says it was by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. So three things in there that Paul said, this is how I did it. And you know, Paul didn't just speak, he also acted, word and deed, speech and actions. So there were spoken words, but there were also deeds and actions to back up or to confirm the things that he says. And he refers to those deeds or actions as signs and wonders. And then he's very quick to state that it wasn't him doing the signs and wonders, but he said it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who's doing this. When I was preparing for this, I was reading a number of different things. And I was on a particular website, and I was reading a message that somebody had preached on this. And he said this: it was through miracles that God confirmed the ministry of the apostles in the earliest days of the church. Yeah, good. Okay, I agree with that. But then he suddenly took a sharp left turn. This is no longer necessary today because we have the full revelation of God in written form. Oh dear. Well, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the work of the Holy Spirit stopped in the age of the apostles. I don't see anything in the Bible that confirms that, that would explain that to us. Jesus said when he returned to the Father, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. The Holy Spirit is going to come and he will be with you and he will be in you. So I don't see anything in the Bible that says that signs and wonders have stopped. And I believe that they are as much for us today as they were for the early church. And, you know, when we speak about signs and wonders, it's one of these things that people can sometimes get a bit hung up about. And, you know, it's not necessarily some big, flashy, miraculous event. It might be, but it could be something that seems quite small and insignificant to us, but is very significant to the person that we're talking to. Something that just cuts straight through into their life, into their circumstances. And, you know, the Holy Spirit could provide a miracle to help that an individual come to faith, or it could be a word of knowledge. You know, the Holy Spirit telling you something about that person that you couldn't possibly know any other way. Or it could just be being in the right place at the right time and coming alongside somebody and providing them with maybe a shoulder to cry on or a listening ear. But all of that comes about as we follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be in the right place at the right time. If we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to hear those words that he speaks to us to give to somebody else. So it's really important that we do that. And all of these things, whether it's a miracle, whether it's a word of knowledge, whether it's just an encouragement, all of them are there to show that God is real and that he cares about each individual and that he wants them to know him. And I want to read you something. Those of you who've been around with us for a while will remember Dennis Walker from Las Vegas. Janice will, yeah. Dennis and his wife Linny visited us quite a number of times over the first few years that we met together and came and spoke at conferences. And this is from a book that Dennis wrote. And I want to read you a section here which... it's just really an illustration of what Paul's talking about there. It's about word and deed. It's about signs and wonders. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a modern day example of what Paul was talking about 2,000 years ago. And God does it just the same today as he did it back then. So I want to read this through for you. I think this will just help to explain it and also encourage you as well. We were invited for coffee at Starbucks by my brother-in-law, Jim Drown. He invited me and several of my family. We approached the counter to order our coffees, and Jim popped up to the front and said to the man at the cash register, "I'm going to pay for the coffee for everybody in the line." A lady had just walked in behind us and heard Jim say he was going to buy her coffee. She protested, saying, "No, no, I'll buy my own coffee." And Jim answered, "I said I will buy for everybody in the line, and I will." She agreed to let Jim buy her coffee. I don't think she understood she would now be in debt to listen to him. Jim was probably thinking, a cup of coffee for a soul, not bad. Jim and the lady waited for the order, and the rest of us went to a table nearby. Jim introduced himself and made a bit of small talk. All of a sudden, Jim said, "You've begun writing a book, but you stopped writing, and God wants you to finish the book." Okay, so that's a word of knowledge. She was shocked. Her eyes got big. So this is a sign that makes you wonder. And she asked, "How do you know this?" Jim responded, "God told me." She said, "But I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in God." Jim looked at her and he said, "That's all right. God believes in you, and he wants you to finish your book." She was still in shock when Jim added, "You have some partial deafness in your left ear, and God wants to heal you." The woman started trembling and said, "You're freaking me out." What she was not aware of is that her agnostic worldview was falling. Marvel or wonder, it's the sound of worldviews falling. Then Jim said to her, "I want you to pray with me right now and ask Jesus to come into your heart." She replied, "I can't do that. I'm agnostic. I don't believe in God." He said, "You used to be agnostic, but now you've seen evidence that God is real and that he knows you and he's calling you." She was trying to process this when she exclaimed, "You're the third person who's spoken to me about Jesus this week." "Well, what does it take? Pray with me now." She ended up praying with Jim then and there to accept Christ as her Savior. He brought her over to the table and said, "Here is a new sister in Christ." Now, if it had stopped there, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Signs and wonders, God at work, God bringing something into that person's life, breaking through her resistance, bringing something to her that proves to her that he is real and that he cares about her. But there was even more. She still had a shocked look on her face and then asked me, "How do you hear from God?" Now, this was a statement of faith from a self-proclaimed agnostic. She no longer doubted that God exists, but asked how to hear his voice. So I started explaining to her in just a few minutes how God speaks to us, that when we're born again and receive the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts, that our spiritual senses are activated and we began to hear him. And all of a sudden I said to her, "And God wants to heal your knees." She said, "You're freaking me out. How do you know about my knees? Do you see something?" I said, "No, there's nothing visible, but the Lord just said you have pain in your knees and need healing." She said that she used to do skydiving, had landed wrong and wrecked her knees. I said, "Would you like to get rid of the pain?" She said, "Yes, but don't put your hands on me." I told her I didn't need to touch her, so I just spoke over her knees the words that I heard Jesus say. She said, "My knees are getting hot." I said, "Move them now." She moved her knees and exclaimed, "The pain is gone." She said, "I think God wanted me to leave with tangible evidence that he is real by healing my knees." Signs and wonders. But there's even more. She then tried to leave, but came back, still in shock, to see what she could learn. Then our daughter Tracy said, I see a vision of Spanish words. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing this right, but manos de ayuda, which in English is helping hands. She added, I believe God will use you to help Hispanic women find jobs. The lady responded in shock, that's the name of my business. It's Helping Hands, and I help Hispanic women find jobs. This lady got hit so many ways and through several people, she had an encounter with the living God, and it changed her life. This is what God wants to do wherever we go. His heart is for the lost. He wants to show himself powerfully through us to the world. Signs and wonders, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how he wants to work. So those deeds, these signs and wonders, they are there to confirm the words that have been spoken. So somebody's not going to get saved by signs and wonders, but they are going to get saved when they hear that Jesus loves them and that he cares about them and that he proves it to them by doing something amazing, something incredible. You know, Paul emphasizes the spoken word there. He says that it's his ambition to preach the gospel. And right at the end of the passage, he quotes from Isaiah, the last couple of lines there in that passage we read. It's Isaiah 52:15. He says there, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. So it's important. The words that are spoken are important. And that's why we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, so we speak the right words at the right time. And if God chooses to confirm that by something else, by a word of knowledge, by something miraculous, whatever it happens to be, that helps that person to come to faith. It helps that person to break through unbelief. It helps that person to get past all of their preconceived ideas. Even like that lady, if they're saying, I don't believe in God. But when God shows up and he does something like that, you can't say anymore, I don't believe in God. Romans 10 verse 17, it's the last verse here, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The word of Christ, the gospel, the good news. And as we share the good news with people and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, people will get changed. They will be restored. And it may not be as exciting or as amazing as that. It might be something really quiet and simple. But whatever it is, God wants to do it, and he wants to do it through all of us. Because all of us are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that you came and died for us. Thank you that you made that ultimate sacrifice for us so that we could come into fellowship, into relationship with you and with the Father. And Lord, we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. Thank you that we're not alone. Thank you that we're not helpless. Thank you that we're not powerless, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us. So Lord, I just pray this morning that you will help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear the times when the Holy Spirit wants to do something through us, that we'll recognize that voice, we'll recognize that still small voice, we'll hear your words, we'll have the right things to say at the right time. And Lord, I just pray for an outbreak of signs and wonders. Lord, I pray that we will hear words of knowledge for people. Lord, that we'll recognize when people need healing, and we'll be able to pray for them and see you restore them and heal them and bring them into your kingdom. And that together we will grow up into maturity, into the fullness of all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.